We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at P.O. Box 3371, Pineville, Louisiana, 71361. Or feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Get a load of
this is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
All right, y'all. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yep, you just tuned in to Kingdom Fellowship with your host, King Arthur, who is in the building, who's kind of just kind of getting something together right now. But I tell you what, you've not tuned in a moment too soon. As a matter of fact, go ahead, get those Bibles out. Go ahead, get your writing pens out, your pads and everything, because the man of God is going to be coming with a relevant word. He's been in the teaching about kingdom building principles for quite some time, and he's going to continue that. And I know that you are growing, because you know what? I'm growing through his teaching too. Amen. I get a first chance to sit down and to glean on some of the word that he is sharing. And I tell you what, down through the years, it has actively empowered me. Amen. So now I know why, amen, we call him King Arthur. As he said before, God has made us kings and priests. And so I walk in that authority. Amen. And when you walk in that authority, that is the first essence of understanding, amen, authority over demonic oppression and things of that nature like that. And once we start to operate in that, and the more that you operate in that, the more confident you become in that. Amen. So, again, I want you to sit back and get ready. Whenever you're ready, King Arthur, you just let me know. If not, I'll just keep bumping my gums until you get ready. But, amen. But, again, I'll tell you what, it's been an exciting journey, that when you can start to grow in the kingdom, things of God's kingdom, it is wonderful. It is amazing. Amen. You know, the 70 disciples came back and they said these words to Jesus. They said, even the devils are subject to us. And that's what being a king is about. Understanding that the devil is subject to you and not being subject to what the devil wants. Yeah, he gonna huff and puff and try to blow your house down. But, you know, he realizes, too, just like any bully, if they can bully you to get you to not stand on what God's word say. I didn't say man's word, but God's word. If he can get you to bully to not stand on God's word, he's going to keep on bullying you. He's going to keep on. Amen. So right now, without any further preliminary, I bring to you none other than in the person of the intramonerable, the incomparable, the majestic, King Arthur.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. Excuse me. As always, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and in your automobile through this radio broadcast and share with y'all. Listen, the greatest message that's ever been told, the greatest story that's ever been told. You know what that greatest message is and that greatest story is? You know, that's the story that God told. That's the story that Jesus told. I thank God for all the other stories that has been told through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through the prophets, through Moses, through ministries, through ministries now, through all ministries, through everything, through all our stories. I thank God for it, for the edifies. But I'm talking about something that's even better than all of that. I'm talking about God's story, what he said. And listen, this is the most important part about it, what he said from the beginning. What he said from the beginning. I'm going to say it one more time. John, the disciple of Jesus, man, he quoted it. He said it in his gospel, in 1 John. He said, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen and which we have handled and our hands have touched of the word of life. That's what we declare unto you. What? That which was from the beginning. What? The word of life. That was from where? That was from the beginning. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. He don't have no beginning. He don't end. He began the beginning. And the word say, that which was from the beginning. That which came from him. What he said. Remember when John, I think it was when Jesus had took his disciples up on the mountain of Transfiguration and boy, the great light shine, and then it's either was dead or at the baptism, you know, when the Holy Spirit descended down and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then it said this, hear ye him. Another place Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you have heard that it has been said. And he started quoting, man, you know, Old Testament prophets. Then he made an awesome statement. He said, but I say unto you, Lord. Like I say, thank God for what the prophet said. Thank God for what all the ministries and all the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all the time, everybody, thank God for what everybody say that edifies and builds up and corrects and reproves and rebukes and all those good things like that. Those are good things, but I'm talking about a great thing. Talking about what the king said. What? From the beginning. What is the first word that came out of his mouth concerning you. Let me tell you something about the first word that came out of his mouth concerning us. That's a law. His word is law. In the original law, the principle, the first law, boy, but what he said about you. Know what he said about you? I ain't talking about what Isaiah and Jeremiah, and, you know what he said about us? This is the word that came out of his mouth that was already in his heart that he had already decided before the foundation of the world. And when it was already a word, but it was just a silent word. But when it come out, when it was articulated, but it was a spoken word, it's lawed in. It's the first thing he said about you and I when he began to speak what he had already decided to what he wanted it made from. This is what he said. Let's make man. Let us make man. That's you and I, mankind. That's everybody. Okay, who you are? Everybody. Everybody. Let's make man just like us and let them have dominion, power, control, influence over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in their lives on this earth. Let's give them the character that we have, the nature that we have, the functioning abilities, just like us. We ain't going to make them us. We going to make them just like us, little offsprings of us. Boy, that's the word of life. Listen, that's a law. Let me just stop for a minute, and we're going to come back to that. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace, Father. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you, Father, for all things, Father. It don't matter good, bad, or whatever. It don't matter, Lord. The suffering, it don't matter, Lord. In everything, we give you thanks, Father. For you have spoken a word over us, and you have begun a work on the inside of us, and the word that you spoke over us, Lord, and the work that you have begun on the inside of us, you shall complete it, Lord. You most definitely will complete that which you have begun. So, Father, we just say thank you, Lord. And you begun a good work on the inside of us, Father. A good work on the inside of us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to complete it. And that ain't nothing, ain't a devil in hell, ain't no man, no woman, no boy, no circumstance, no situation, no symptom can alter the word that have gone forth out of your mouth, Father. That's law. What the king say, hallelujah, that goes. What you said, Father, that goes. And what you have said over our life, Father, hey, come what may, Father, that's what it's going to be. And we give you glory and honor, Father, that you have made us, Lord, wisdom. That you have made us, Father, winners. That you have made us, Lord, that you have given us the victory in all things and everything, my Father. For you, once again, who have begun a good work on the inside of us, you're going to complete it. And we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking sickness away from the midst of us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for you created us to live in divine health. Therefore, we decree and declare, Father, hey, that sickness, all sickness that's in our bodies, is on its way out, Father. For you sent your word, and your word healed us, Father. You sent your word, and your word was like medicine to all of our flesh, Father. And, Father, we decree and declare that it is your will that we prosper in everything that we put our hands to that pertains to life and godliness and fulfillment of our purpose, the purpose that you had for our life, Father. Hey, everything that we put our hand to will prosper, Father. And that, Lord, we will not only, Lord, live, man, long, but we will live long and strong, my Father. Healed by the stripes of Jesus, Father. For you sent your word, and your word healed us. You sent your word. And your word was like medicine to all of our flesh. Therefore, Father, we take authority over every dis-ease that may attach itself to our bodies, my Father. And we command it to wither, to die, and to go. We decree and declare that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, we are saved, we are delivered, and we are provided for, Father. And we say, for that, we say thank you, Lord God. That's what you said. That's what you're doing, my Father. That's your story. And that's the greatest story, Father, that's ever been told. And we thank you for that, Father. Now, Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hands and under the ministry of your Holy Spirit, my Father, that he may now, Father, minister through these lips of clay, Father, to edify your people, to build your people up, to strengthen us, whether it's in reproof, rebuke, instruction, correction, chastisement, whatever you do, Father, may it be by your Spirit. So, Holy Ghost, Lord, we yield ourselves to you and say, yes, for you are the most important person in the earth today. You are the most, your work is the most important work in the earth today. For the Father, the boy who begun that good work on the inside of us, he has completed it. Jesus, who had a part to play in it, he has completed it. Now is you, Holy Ghost. It's you, Holy Spirit, that is at work in the earth today, fulfilling God's purpose and destiny and plan and original intent and idea for our lives. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hands and say, you lead us and you guide us into everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, into everything that our Father in heaven has spoken concerning our lives that pertains to grace and mercy. Now I humble myself, Father, under the word of your grace, that it might build us up and give us our inheritance among those who are sanctified. And to you, Father, to you be all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hallelujah. Now and forever. Amen. 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 You know what amen mean? And so shall it be. You know what shall mean? Most definitely. So when you say amen, you're saying, and most definitely will it be. When God said, thou shalt have no other God before me, thou most definitely ain't going to have no other God before him. Baby, when the work that he begun on the inside of us, that's what it's going to be. that's not only what it's going to be, that's what it's most definitely. Hallelujah. That's what it's most definitely going to be. I told you what the king said, go. That's Whenever I come on here to tell you, boy, this is the greatest story that has ever been told. Not the story, not the history, the greatest history. Not the history of man. Not the stories of man, but the story of God. What his will and what his desire and what his plan is for our life. You know, the Bible says this, unless the Lord build the house, our labor is in vain. If we're not careful, boy, we come up with our ideas and what we want to do for the Lord, and all those are good things. And then we'll try to get God in on that through our prayer and through our service and through all our rituals and everything that we do. We go to God, boy, with even with things that God has put in our heart. We go to him, boy, to help him accomplish that, man. And listen, that's a good thing. But that's not the proper thing. He said you ask, but you ask amiss. You pray, but you pray amiss. What you mean? You miss at the... You pray, but you don't pray right. You don't pray according to kingdom protocol. You pray religious prayers. And listen, that ain't evil. That ain't bad. That's just not right. And to pray kingdom prayers. Case in point, we go to God and tell God what our problem is and tell him all about our problems and everything else and all about our giants. He already know that. Go bring him in remembrance of what he said concerning all giants. He said, I give you power over all the powers of your enemies, and nothing shall by any means harm you. We go to God, boy, and ask God, man, to heal so-and-so and to touch so-and-so body and everything else. And then God say, hey, listen, I give you power over all the powers of your enemies, and you shall lay hands on the sick. We go to God and tell him what we want him to do for us. And God say, come and bring me in remembrance of what I said I'm going to do for you. Because the best that you could come up with what you want to do for me is a joke compared to what God want to do for us. We want God to heal us of all our sickness and disease, and God want us to walk in divine help where sickness and disease don't even come near our dwelling place. Lord. That's why I say, man, and I say this all the time, the devil's most successful tactic against us, the church, believers, is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. We're trying to get healed when, man, listen, divine health is available to us. And listen, that divine health that's available to us ain't got nothing to do with the circumstance, situation, and symptoms. All the circumstance, situation, and symptoms are going to be opposed to that. He said, ain't no weapon in this. Your enemy won't triumph over you. It didn't say you don't have no enemy. It didn't say all this going to just fall upon us like ripe cherries falling out the tree. No, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Boy, you do have an enemy. And he's doing everything else he can. I told you, he's preoccupying you with the good thing. He don't want you to get to the great thing. He don't mind you, man, getting saved as long as you don't lead nobody else to salvation. He don't mind you having good church as long as you don't learn how to be the church. He don't mind us getting blessed, man, as long as we don't be no blessing. He don't mind us getting help from other people and everything else, as long as, man, you don't be no help, as long as you don't help nobody else. He don't mind you being a Christian. As long as you don't become, boy, no citizen of the kingdom of God. Listen, he don't mind you being an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher and a rabbi and a bishop and a pope and all that. As long as you don't become, boy, no ambassador of the kingdom of God, and as long as you don't become, boy, no son of the Most High God, and as long as you don't take on the title of a king, he don't mind you operating in all those other things. As long as you don't find out about your kingship, as long as you don't find out about your ambassadorship, long as you don't find out about your citizenship. Listen, he don't mind you knowing all the stories about Jesus and everything else, and man, all the theology of Jesus and everything else, and all the good news about Jesus. He don't mind you finding out, boy, how long the nails was in his hand and how the cross. He don't mind you finding out about all that that he did and how he opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and raised folks from the dead, man. He don't mind you hearing all that, as long as you don't find out, boy, what Jesus was saying about all of that. He don't mind you preaching the gospel of Jesus. As long as you don't never preach the gospel that Jesus preached. He don't mind you being preoccupied with all the preliminaries. What? All the messages that lead up to what? The main event. The greatest story that's ever been told. The greatest message that ever been preached. An end time message. The main event. He don't mind you being preoccupied by all the preliminary messages. All the old covenant messages. All the messages that took place, man, from Genesis chapter 3 in your Bible after Adam and Eve fell from their dominion and their authority and God's original plan and pray for their lives. You don't mind you being preoccupied by all of that, man, no long as you... Oh, Lord. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Boy, that's an end time message. And you and I are living in the dispensation and in a period in human history where, boy, this end time message, this main event, this gospel of the kingdom, let me say it in a little bit better way, this gospel that Jesus preached, not the gospel of him and not the gospel about him, I'm talking about the gospel that he preached. Now, the gospel about him and the gospel of him, it's in there. But that's why I say the devil, you know, man, you're preaching the gospel of men about him and the gospel of him, as long as you don't preach the gospel that he preached, as long as you don't find out about that. You know, we're preaching everything else but that. In time past, we've been preaching everything but that. That gospel has been lost in the graveyard of religion, perhaps for the last 1,800 years. Jesus has been gone over, been here, that's 2,000 years ago. And the gospel that he preached, boy, the enemy coming after that. He don't mind all the other gospels and everything else. Those not bad and those not wrong, and that don't mean that it's even everything else, man. Those are preliminary bouts. You know, on pay-per-view, when they have the pay-per-view fight and the heavyweight championship of the world, you know, before they show you that fight, you know, and where they are, they have preliminary bouts. They have two or three fights that's before that. And the purpose of those preliminary bouts is to get all the people, man, geared up for the main event. And those preliminary bouts be some good bouts. It might have the light featherweight championship of the world. It might have the all and good bouts. All of them on the card, they be, you know, championship fights too. But those are preliminary bouts that leads up to the main event. Listen, and the first little preliminary bout, it'd be a championship fight. It'd be a good little fight. And after that fight over with, man, the people don't go home. Then the next preliminary bout come on. And, boy, it'd be a good little fight. And after that fight, the people don't go home. And after that, boy, there comes another little preliminary bout, the last one before the main event. And after that preliminary bout, the people still don't go home. Then come the main event. All them preliminary bouts, boy, them people that's in there, boy, those fans ready for the main event. Then when the main event come on and when the main event is over with, then the people go home. Boy, that's why the devil don't want you to ever get to the main event. That's why he want to keep us preoccupied, man, in the means at the expense of getting to the end. He don't want you to know about the main event because he know, boy, that in the end, he know what's going to happen. He already know that he know about himself, but you don't know. He already know that he been sentenced to eternal damnation, man, in the lake of fire, however you want to call it, boy. That's eternally separated not only from God, boy, but from all the people of God and all the things of God and all the creation of God, where he can never, ever, no longer for all eternity, man, interfere in what God's purpose and plan and destiny was for our lives, boy. And his purpose and plan and destiny for our lives is that it might be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. And, boy, let me tell you something. I say it again. He who have begun that work on the inside of us, he going to complete that. Boy, listen, you know, all the other message that we've been hearing and everything else, like I tell you, there ain't no bad message. The gospel of Jesus, how he died, how he opened blind eyes, how he unstopped death the earth, how to live, the laws of Moses, all those other laws, all those other messages, all, everything, all the way from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up until Jesus Christ. Boy, Jesus said it this way, from John the, let me quote it how he said it. He said, all the way from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets have been preached. Those are preliminary bouts. What all that lead up to the main event? What's that, boy? This gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom, that boy, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God started something. What God started? He set up his kingdom on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he set up his pattern of operation. He set up his desire, his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. He set that up. Who? He, unless the Lord build a house, baby, your labor is in vain. Boy, he set that up. I ain't talking about what was set up in the accident. I'm talking about what he set up from the beginning. Lord. What, boy? He set up heaven on earth. He set up, man, his intent was for earth to be a colony of heaven. What's a colony of heaven? A colony is everything, the same culture that's going on in the place that is colonized by is taking place in there. That is on earth just like it is in heaven. I cut to the chase and just say it to him. That is on earth just like it is in heaven. Boy, he begun that. That was his original intent and desire before he even begun that. That was it was in his mind. Before the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 means when it says, thanks be unto God. That's why I say I give him thanks in everything. Why? Because thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world. Baby. What he chose? We ain't choose him. He chose us. I ain't talking about what you chose and what you decided and what you're doing. I'm talking about what he chose and what he decided. Listen, before the foundation of the world. And look what he chose and decided, that we should be holy. What do you mean that we should be holy? That we should be just like him. That's what holiness means. All the other stuff, man, and everything else, man, that we talk about, man, now let's get to the real thing, what it really means. Boy, start being like who you really are. Offsprings of God. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Little G gods. Whose source, man, is the big G God. That knows in order for us to fulfill our purpose as little G God, we must stay hooked up to the big G God. Yeah, Lord, just like a plant. If it want to thrive and live, it got to stay hooked up to the soil. If we want to fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny, baby, we got to be hooked up to the source. Who is the source? I ain't talking about what the church doing. I ain't talking about what your pastor doing. I ain't talking about what your denomination doing. I ain't talking about what your religion. I ain't talking about nothing you doing. The Bible says in the book of Acts, he said, now in chapter 20, he said, now, brethren, I commend you unto the word of God's grace, which is able to build us up and give us our inheritance. What word, man? The word of his grace. I ain't talking about, man, a religious grace like what you know all about and everything else and what people are having controversy about it and this and that about it. When they're talking about it, don't give you no license. Man, listen, that's a religious grace thing. I'm talking about the... I say, what do you say, man? I say, I'm talking about, man, the grace of God. I ain't talking about what man said about his grace. I'm talking about what he said about his grace. You know what he said about his grace? He spoke about his grace, man, way back. He said, listen, boy, hallelujah, I'm coming. That's what he told Adam and Eve way back in the garden, man, before he put them out of there, man, after they had sinned, he told them, baby, let me tell you something, boy, you done messed up, man, and you done separated yourself from me, and, man, you done got off course toward the purpose and destiny that I have for your life, my original intent that I have for your life, that you walk in divine health, Man, you done got off course to dead men and everything else, and as a result of it, sickness and disease and all kind of stuff going to come up in your life. You're going to live by the sweat of your brow. And, man, instead of, man, the earth bringing forth like a poster bringing forth to you, man, it's going to be thistles and thorns and everything else, boy. And your way going to be hard, man. But if I promise you something, baby, well, I'm coming myself, man, and I'm going to redeem your life from that destruction. Boy, that's grace. In other words, what are you saying? I know there ain't nothing you can do to save yourself, man. Because you done committed high treason, man, and the penalty for that is death. You done gave aid and support to the enemy. And you done gave your kingship and your authority and your dominion and your power over into the hands of an unemployed chair and a devil, man. And ain't no way in the world you can get it back yourself. But I promise you something. Lord. I who have begun a good work on the inside of you, I'm going to complete it. I'm coming myself, glory to God, that I'm going to take back, man, everything that the enemy tried to steal from you, man, and keep you from reaching your God-given destiny. I'm coming myself, and I'm going to take it back from you. That's the redemptive work of God. That's all the good news about Jesus and what he did and everything else. But that's a preliminary that lead up to the main event. I'm coming and redeem your life from the destruction. For what, Arthur? For a purpose. Why? So that I can restore, glory to God, restoration. Everything that you lost, so that you can have restored back to you your dominion, your sovereignty, your power, your identity, your true identity, your true ability, your true character, your true nature, your true potential that's on the inside of you. I'm going to restore that back to you. See, listen, all the preliminary mess, all the preliminary bouts, it's all about the redemptive plan of God. How through, man, Genesis chapter 3, God began down through time and different dispensation, man, dealing with mankind in different ways, man, all leading up, man, to one thing, what? The restoration of God's original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives. So what are the restoration of that? I'm going to say it again, the restoration of that. That's why he redeemed our lives. That's why he saved us. That's why he paid the penalty for all our sins, man. Why? So that, man, you can come back into the presence of the Lord, boy, and resume. Hallelujah. Boy, take off where, man, where we left off, man, where we got off track and come back, man, and get back on track, man, to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and start charting our course toward the destination that he said concerning our lives. When, Arthur, when we die, no, right now, that way have been made. That's the restoration. See, if we're not careful, the devil keep us preoccupied, man, with the redemptive work of God. That's the good news about Jesus and the gospel about Jesus. Thank God for that, baby. Let me tell you something. You can't get restored until you've been redeemed. But there's a going on in our God. Hallelujah. And you got to get past, man, the cross. You got to get past the door. You got to get past the gate. You got to get past Jesus. And get to, boy, what Jesus, man, came to do. What he came to do, he didn't just come to redeem our life from that destruction. He came to restore back to us everything that we lost in Adam. What did we lose in Adam? We lost the kingdom of God. We lost the kingdom of heaven. We lost our sovereignty. We lost our kingship. We lost our authority and ability and potential to rule and reign in life, not over one another and not over people, but over every circumstance, situation, and symptom, baby, in our lives. And as a result of it, boy, the circumstances and situations and symptoms of life begin to reign over us. But God so loved his original world. God so loves his desire, boy. I told you, man, he made a promise to the guy. He said, I promise you something. I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from that destruction. Why? So that I could restore you back to your original place. So that I could restore you back to, watch this, so that I could restore you back to Eden. Listen, the only way we can fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny is in Eden. Back into the presence of the Lord. back engrafted into our source and our sustainer, back hooked up, man, to the soil of life. What's the life, man? That's the God kind of life, Zoe life, life the way God lives and life the way God intended for us to live, long and strong. For those who have called to that purpose. And those who have called, man, to live short and long. It don't matter whether you die at birth, man, whether it's even in an abortion, boy. Let me tell you something. He who will be gotten a good work on the inside of us, I say it again, he going to complete that thing. Death ain't got no sting, and it ain't got no victory. All that's been taken. All that's been taken care of in the redemptive work of God. For what purpose, boy? So that you could come back into the number one law in the kingdom of God. What's that, Arthur? The law of life. Hallelujah. You know the Bible say, boy, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who come to the knowledge of what I'm telling you about. That's the main event. And begin to walk in that way, begin to walk in the spirit, and not after that old man no more, or not after that natural man no more, but begin to learn how to walk. Glory to God, after boy, not just the good news about Jesus, man, not just about if I walk about the door, but boy, come through that door and find out and see what's all behind that door, your inheritance, what belonged to you, what's yours now, and begin to walk after that. I guarantee you, baby, every bit of ground that the sole of your feet tread upon, you shall possess it. I ain't talking about this physical natural ground. I ain't talking about physical and natural resource and everything else. I'm talking about, boy, all the spiritual blessings of heaven. But if you got all the spiritual blessing of heaven, you ain't got to take no thought about what you're going to eat, how you're going to make it, what you're going to wear, how you're going to get your bills paid. Bill, your back could be all the way up against the wall. Sometimes I don't know how, glory to God, baby, I'm going to make it, baby. But one thing I do know, that I done already made it, glory to God. So I ain't trying to figure out, man, how I'm going to make it, boy. I just keep my confidence and trust, baby, that because I'm hooked up back to the source, then I got all the resources that I have need of, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Boy, let me tell you something, boy. He who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that, baby. That's a going on in our God until we reach the fullness of the stature of Christ, until we look just like him, until we act just like him, until we talk just like him. You know that's the purpose for church? That's why I say, man, the devil will preoccupy us, man. We go to church, man, to have church. And it depends on how high the rectus scale was lifted up or how high your emotions were stirred up, man, that determines what you say how well church was. If you ain't feel nothing, everything, well, church wasn't all that good. And then, man, listen, that ain't the purpose for church to stir up your emotions, boy. The purpose for church, man, is to go learn how to be the church. Glory to God. But what the work of the church is not in the four walls. The work in the church, man, is... It's to colonize earth with heaven, boy. It's to go out into, man, everyday life, man, and be the church, boy. Be, man, representative of the kingdom of heaven, man, in the kingdom of God. Be ambassadors, man. Go and establish or help God reestablish his kingdom upon the earth, man, and expand it, man. Lord. Go do what, boy? Instead of getting God to try to help you do what you want to do, you go help God do what he want to do. What God want to do, he want to be on earth just like it is in heaven. How you going to get that done? Through his church. What is church doing? They having church and don't know nothing about how to be the church. And let me tell you something. Having church ain't no bad thing. That's the means to the end. You got to have some good church. Let me tell you something. When you find out what the end is and what you're really supposed to be doing and begin to, man, know the church of the kingdom, talking about having church then. When you're going out in everyday life, man, and you winning souls to the kingdom of God, and you helping God to accomplish what he doing. What he doing, boy? He gonna colonize earth with heaven. How he doing it, man? Through his ambassadorship. Not through representatives of churches and denominations and beliefs and theologies and ideologies and everything else, but boy, people, man, who will come and sit at the feet of the Most High God and get what he wants. That's what the Bible meant when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why I say, man, come and find out, man, what God want and what he doing. We go tell God what we want him to do for us. We take our problems to God all the time, man. When listen, God knows what your problem is, and you ain't got to take no thought about that. Your problem is what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to make it, how you're going to live, and everything else. Your father know that you have need of all that. But if you seek first, boy, I'm talking about not second, not third, man. I'm not my man. Listen, boy, that's a hard thing for some people to do, especially those in leadership positions, man. Because, man, they've been preoccupied, or they still preoccupied with the preliminary bouts, man. And the preliminary bouts are good bouts. But, baby, if you begin to preach them preliminary bouts in the light of the main event, that's what the devil don't ever want church to do. That's what the devil don't ever want leaders to do. Boy, they can hear this gospel of the kingdom and agree with it and shout with it and everything else and continue on preaching, man, what they've been preaching, man, instead of repenting. Listen, repenting, man, is a constant thing where we constantly transforming and we constantly changing, man, and tell one generation, man, is going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Listen, we on the brink of a global explosion of the gospel of the kingdom, man. Most ministers, especially around here, man, I share with our people all the time, they ain't never know, heard nothing about the kingdom of God in this region. I tell you, I'm an ambassador of glory to God. I'm a king, and I'm an ambassador, boy. I don't represent my church, my denomination, man, my theology, my belief, and everything else, boy. I just couldn't tell you, boy, the greatest story ever been told, man. I couldn't tell you, man, what thus said the Lord. Hallelujah. And what I couldn't tell you about what thus said the Lord, man, I ain't going to tell you, man, I ain't going to preach to you the law and the prophets. I ain't going to tell you, man, about what the law and the prophets. You didn't already know that and been preached that, man, for the last 1,800 years. Boy, listen. And I didn't come to do away with that. Jesus said, I didn't come to preach the law and the prophets. I ain't come to do away with it. I come to fulfill it. I come to tell you that the law and the prophets is fulfilled in your life. What the law said, thou shalt not, man. Thou shalt not. Thou most definitely. And boy, the way, God's way of getting that in your life has already taken place, man. He's taking it off them stone tablets, man, that he gave Moses to come down and wrote it in and wrote it on the tablet of your heart. Glory to God. And everything that the prophet was prophesying was, hey, boy, that's coming a Messiah that's going to fix this thing back up, man. That's going to set up God's kingdom back up on the earth again, man. Well, we be able to be like David kingdom was, boy, live in the city of Jerusalem with the city of peace, man. Why, you had peace in life. Why? Because you have conquered all your enemies. My Lord. You come to the knowledge, boy, that ain't no weapon formed against you can stand. And, boy, you'll fight every battle, boy. You'll look that devil eyeball to eyeball. It don't matter what. Your back can be all the way up against the wall. Your body can be racked with pain and sickness and disease, boy. I'm talking about all kind of, man, obstacles and everything else and all the onslaughts of the devil, spirit, soul, and physically, man, can be attacking you, man. I'm talking about to the fullest, baby. And you can look that thing eyeball to eyeball and face to face, and you can let it know, baby, that great is he that's on the inside of us, glory to God, than anything that's against us. Boy, it be more for us than be against us, boy. You are. Boy, instead of you running from the devil, boy, the devil be running from us. More people don't want to have nothing to do with the devil, especially spirit. They don't want to have nothing because they don't know about that. That's all right. That's a good thing. God don't send no children out to fight. We don't send no children over there to Afghanistan to fight no battle. Same way God ain't going to send no babies out there, man, to fight the devil. He raised up sons for that, boy. He raised up kings for that. Doesn't it take more than a prophet and evangelist and pastor and teaching and everything else? Boy, you got to know who you are as a prophet and evangelist and pastor and teachers, man. This. You can't enter the strong man's house and spoil it good until you first bind up the strong man. Listen, before Jesus Christ began to do all those great works that he did, the Bible says he was led into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil, boy. Well, boy, I'm talking about, boy, he was tried, man, and he let that devil know, boy, same thing I'm telling you, boy, the same thing that you got to come to the knowledge of and do. Let that devil know that, boy, great is he that's in you, that he who have begun a good work on the inside of you, that come what may, it don't matter whether it's sickness and disease, baby, you can overcome that, even if you got to overcome it in death, glory to God. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Ain't no victory, man. Why? Because of the law of life that's in Christ Jesus, baby. What that mean, boy, all that you saying? I'm talking about the word that he come to speak. What he come to say, man? He didn't come to tell us about the prophets no more, boy. The prophet was telling us about him. He come to tell us, boy, that the law and the prophets has been fulfilled, baby. thou shalt not. Thou most definitely ain't going to have no other God before the Most High God. Thou most definitely ain't going to commit adultery. Thou most definitely ain't going to steal. Thou most definitely ain't going to cover. That most, all those things that he was saying, man, that you shouldn't do, there was a schoolmaster for them, boy, to bring them to the place, boy, where they graduated into the reality of that. Becoming, hallelujah, who you already are. What's that, Arthur? Holy and without blame, man. Covered in his love. How you doing that? So you trying to do it by your works. By the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. And by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How this taking place, Arthur? This is what the Lord doing. I told you, unless the Lord build a house. Man, I couldn't tell you the greatest story that's ever been told. And it's the main event, man. I'm telling you what God doing. What God doing? He say, hey, Jeremiah, yeah, go down to that guy house who make them potter down there, to that factory down there who make all them clay vessels and everything. And I want to talk to you from there. I'm going to tell you something from there. So Jeremiah went down there, man. He went to the potter's house, man. You know the story. And he began, he saw the potter was fashioning the vessel, boy. And the vessel was all right, but it really wasn't according to a perfection. It really wasn't according to his liking. So the Bible says, say, glory to God, that the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. I'm talking about what God doing. I ain't talking about what you doing and what your church doing, what our denomination doing, and what I'm doing and everything else. No, I come to tell you, boy, the greatest story that's ever been told. What's that, Arthur? Come to tell you what he doing. How can you tell us what he doing? Because the Bible say, if you seek first the kingdom of God, what? God's way of doing things. What God is doing. If you seek that first, Lord, what you doing? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. In my life here on earth, you see first, boy, what he doing and how he doing it and his way of doing it and his righteousness, not your righteousness, our righteousness is like filthy rags. I'm talking about, boy, his way of doing things. That's what the kingdom of God is. In simple terms, it's what the king say. What he doing. What he doing. Not what we doing for him, what he doing and what he has done for us. And what he doing and what he has done for us is gracious, glory to God. It's full of grace. And guess what? And of his fullness have we all received. So what the deal is, Arthur, now, man, listen, now that's a life that's available to us. That's the restoration work. That's the work that, boy, I'm talking about. That's the main event, boy, that all that I'm talking about, that's available to us right now. You in that right now. You who have accepted Christ into your life, boy, I'm talking about you have been translated out of the authority of this kingdom of darkness that we live in and that we born and trained and conditioned to operate on. We have been translated out of the authority of this kingdom over our lives, over into the authority of God's, the kingdom of God, dear son. You've been placed under another authority now. You're no longer under the authority of the law of sin and death. For the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free, baby. From the law of sin and death. For what purpose, Arthur? Man, not just to set us free so that we could, man, use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh so that we could just live any kind of way and everything else. That's what most people start talking about, man, the first thing the devil put in their mind when you start talking about the grace, man, of God. That ain't what God's grace is for, boy. No, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, man, so that I could live, man, the way God intended for me to live. A king in the earth, hallelujah. To what, boy, and tell them sickness and diseases and circumstances and situations dictating to us. No, baby, we speaking to the mountain, boy. I heard my son, a little friend, say, boy, the other day we was coming up here, she was singing that song, boy, climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Baby, that's the old slave mentality song and everything else. And in time past, we were climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. But, boy, I'm talking about a God who has came, baby, over 2,000 years ago and fulfilled that promise that he spoke to his children in the garden, man, when the devil deceived them. I'm coming myself, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction. I got to get you back, and it's going to cost something to get you back, hallelujah. The penalty for sin is death, and none of you can't pay it, but I'm going to pay it myself. I love you so much, boy, that instead of letting you die for all eternity, I'll die, and I'll pay the penalty for your sin. And so for what, Arthur? So that I could have you back again. That's redeeming. That's redemption. That deem means to own. redeemed means to own again. So all that he done through Christ Jesus, boy, so that he could own us again, so that we could be engrafted back into the family of God, so that we could be adopted back into our sonship, so that all our authority and dominion and everything else that we lost, boy, well, we've been redeemed. We've been purchased. Now he's Lord of our life. Now, Lord means owner. He owned us at one time, man, then he lost us. And then he came and found his children and redeemed our life, purchased us back. That's Calvin, all the stories about Jesus. And all that. That's redemptive. That's the redemptive work of God. Redeemed, paid the penalty for all our sins. Washed us. Though our sins like scarlet, washed us white as snow. What you talking about? I'm talking about the true grace of God. And that ain't for us to just live any kind of way. That's to bring you out of sin. Glory to God. Listen, the grace that I'm talking about, boy, not only cover up our sin, it'll bring us out of sin. You won't want to sin no more, boy, when you know the real grace of God. And partake of that, boy, you're going to want to love God, glory to God. You the purpose for this story right here, that's why they say it's a love story, boy, because the purpose for this story here is to get you, is designed, man, to make you love your Father. Hallelujah. Why? Because when you find out, boy, how much he loved you and all that he's done for you, boy, you're going to grow in love with him. And he said this here, and as you grow in love with me, baby, you're going to be keeping my commandment. Not because you're trying to get something or get saved or trying to get delivered. You're going to keep my commandment because you love me. How you going to love me like that? Because you're going to realize that you're already saved, that you're already delivered, that you're already healed, that you're already provided for, that I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Oh, it might not seem that way. It might not look that way. It might not feel that way in the natural. It might not even be that way. You might die. Your children might die. It might seem like I ain't no way around you, baby, but the purpose and plan and destiny that God say I set for your life, I'm going to complete that paper. Why? So what the king say, go. That's the word of life. That's the primary law, and that's the number one law in the kingdom of God. See, when you come back into the kingdom of God and everything else, let me tell you something, there's laws that govern. God is the God of laws. Listen, there were some laws God gave way before he gave them laws to Moses. The result of God giving those laws to Moses is means because, boy, mankind, man, have then broke man the original laws of God. The laws that came way before Moses. The law that came way before thou shalt not. Listen, when God gave them laws, they was already doing all those things. Mankind had been doing them things, man, all the way from, man, when Adam and Eve got put out. Listen, man, one son killed the other son. From the beginning. So all them laws and everything else that Moses was telling them, man, about, man, thou shalt not and everything else, God was telling them, man, all these laws you done already broke. But I promise you something, boy. The work that I begun in you, what the work that I begun in you that you ain't going to break no law. I'm going to complete that. And all this that you going through and the learning of the law and all that, that's a schoolmaster. For what? To teach you, man, what I'm telling you, that, boy, I'm talking about my counsel going to stand, said the Lord. What I said about you going to stand. In fact, when I said this year, I want to show you through this law, teach you through with the law that I gave Moses to bring you to the realization, what, that I need a Savior. Because all them things that God say don't do, I done already done. And the penalty for that is death. And listen, boy, I've already done it, so hey, and ain't nothing I can do, boy, to recover myself from that destruction. But God, look past all our faults and all our mistakes and all our weaknesses and all our inabilities, boy, and he saved us anyway. He healed us anyway. He delivered us anyway. He provided for us anyway. Listen, boy, them children of Israel, man, when they was in bondage to the Pharaohs and everything back there in them days, man, listen, they wasn't really serving God and doing all the things that God wanted to do. But, boy, I'm talking about God saved them anyway. Listen, man, I'm talking about, man, they didn't know how to walk in the health and everything else, man. But God told them, man, listen, take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost of your heart, on your house, and the death angel going to pass through. Boy, he saved them from death right there. And then he told them to take the blood, that lamb, and roast it and eat it. And when they roast it and eat it, the Bible say blind eyes start being open. Deaf ears start hearing. The lame start walking, boy. The blind sugar diabetes start leaving. High blood pressure. The Bible say it wasn't a feeble-minded one among them, baby. What he did, he healed them all. wasn't no seeing eye dogs. There wasn't nobody coming out on stretchers and wheelchairs. There wasn't no transfer. There wasn't no moving men, them out men on ventilators and none of that and all that stuff like that. No, boy, he healed them all. They got out in the wilderness, man. They ain't had nothing to eat and everything else, man. I'm talking about boy, listen, these dogs had to give them manna from heaven and water from the rock. He took care. He provided for them. While they still had the Egypt mentality. While they still were murmuring and complaining. He just kept right on, baby. His counsel gonna stand. Even when they got sick, baby, he healed them. They put the brazen altar up there, man, with the little serpent up, a sign up there, morning. I'm talking about all those who looked up on it, he healed them. While all on his way to a destination. What's that destination, man? That God say, boy, do even though it's, you missed it, I got you. My counsel gonna stand. What I intended for your life, boy, that's and what I when I spoke it, it became the word of life. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of the life that's in Christ Jesus. Well, I say the law of the life of Christ Jesus, because when Christ Jesus came, that's what he came preaching. That's his message. And in his message, in those four Gospels, it's the good news about him and what he did and everything else. But what's hid in there is like a treasure that's hid in the field is what he preached. What he preached, man. You know what he was preaching? He was preaching Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He was preaching, man, a different message than the scribes and the Pharisees and all the other pagan religions of his different times. He's preaching a different message. Boy, that message he was preaching, man, was the law of life. He was preaching, man, what God said. And what God said, man, about you from the beginning. And boy, I'm talking about what God said about you from the beginning. I say it again as I prepare to close this broadcast. That's going to prevail. Listen, God sent his word, and his word healed us. See, this word that I'm talking about right now, boy, you receive that, and you grab a hold to it, you take it, and you place it in your possession, man, it'll heal you. But it might not heal your physical body instantly, but you know what it's designed to do? It's designed to heal you, boy. Your spirit, your soul, your emotions, your attitude. Your lack of knowledge, it'll heal there. It'll heal you. For what purpose? So that, man, you can, man, begin to take authority over every sickness and every disease and every germ and every virus that over our body. See, we're trying to get God to do something he's already done. We're trying to get God to heal us and trying to get us to take authority over every sickness and disease in your body. How, Arthur? Through the law of life. What law? The law of life. What's the law of life? What the king say? What the king say? I'm the Lord your God. I not only take sickness away from the midst of you, but I desire that you walk in divine health, that you can live long and strong. And when your purpose is fulfilled here on this earth, boy, that you come on into glory, living forever and ever and ever, and body that ain't never decay, and never corrupt, never. But if your purpose was life and long life, and you're operating in your purpose, then God say, man, stop trying to get healed and be healed. Stop trying to get saved and be saved. Stop trying to get, man, what's already yours and start having what. Stop trying to get, man, what God got for you and start having what's already yours. All these things that I'm talking about, these are yours. This is your inheritance. This, all this that I'm talking about, this belong to you. But it's not enough for you to know that now. And now that you grab a hold to it, now you got to learn how to operate in it. See, we've been talking about the restoration and the establishment and the advancement of God's kingdom. Boy, in the next few years now, we're going to talk about, man, kingdom living, how to live in the kingdom, learning now how to function in the kingdom, because that's how you get all your stuff in the kingdom. You got to learn the laws of the kingdom. We're just introducing now the first law of the kingdom, the law of life. And, boy, and there's another one, the law of faith, and then another one, the law of love. And then another one, a perfect law of liberty. And then this one right here that's going to show us how to get everything from the unseen realm into this seen realm. It's a law that get that happen. And that's a law of sowing and reaping. Baby, you got to learn how to talk in this kingdom. You got to learn how to sow to the spirit, man. And you got to learn how, boy, to speak, man, I'm talking about. You got to learn how to talk. Your word got to become just like his word, boy. Your word got to become the law of life, too, man. You got to know how to talk in this kingdom. Listen, my time is up. My wife, Gail, and I, my family, Tamika and Jesse and Nikki and Tori, and most important, even DeJuan, that's our angel that's watching over us. We give to you what he gave to us, boy, and that's this. One love, unconditionally. Listen, we love you with the love of the Lord, and that's unconditional. The same love that God loves us with. And it is that love that will draw all men unto him. And it is that love that has saved us, that has healed us, that has provided for us, and that has delivered us from everything. Be blessed. Talk to you next time.